in his short-sleeved shirt and his short pants. I didn't even get to hear it. I don't know about you, but I've personally used Ben as a barometer, so to speak, to gauge what the weather's like. If Ben wears long pants, I'm not getting out. But if I see him in shorts, I know it's okay. We can handle it. So it's good to have Ben the barometer back. Let me invite you this morning to turn in your Bible to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. Just out of curiosity, have any of you heard of the artist Bev Doolittle? Very good. Okay. Those of you who know anything about Bev Doolittle, and this is one of her paintings here, she's often called a camouflage artist because her distinctive use of context, design, and pattern help viewers discover meanings in her paintings which seem hidden only until they become obvious. This is a painting entitled Woodland Encounter. And if you notice, the first thing that I think stands out for most of us is the fact that there's a fox right in the middle. Very distinct. There it is. That's obvious. But what's hidden in the painting, if you look closer, you will begin to see amid the aspen trees Native Americans on their horses. Can you pick those out? It's one of my favorites. She does a lot of this, and it's just so good, but this happens to be one of my favorites. And I use this today simply to point out that there are some things that are very, very obvious, like the fox, and then there are other things which are hidden until you begin to look closely. And when you look closely, you can pick it out. Scripture is similar in one respect. Not that Scripture tries to hide anything from us, but oftentimes with the Word, and we're talking about the Word of God here, the written Word, oftentimes there are some things that are so obvious. The minute you read it, you go, ah, there it is. And then sometimes there's some hidden word or hidden meaning, if you will, that you've got to look a little bit closer for. And again, this is not the Lord trying to trick us. It's simply that it's getting us into the Word, digging into the Word, looking to seeing, God, what are you really saying here? What is the entire meaning here? And again, I share this with you from Bev Doolittle because today we're going to look at a story in Scripture regarding the birth of Christ that deals with the obvious, but also deals with the hidden. And so you're at Luke chapter 2, and I want you to look with me at this encounter between the man Simeon and Joseph, Mary, and the baby Jesus. Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 22. Actually, let me back you up to 21 just to get the context here. And at the end of 8 days, 8 days from the birth of Jesus, per the Jewish law recorded in Leviticus chapter 12, and at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, and that now is the time period, again described in Leviticus chapter 12, a time period of some 33 days past the circumcision. So 40 days total. And when the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they, Joseph and Mary, brought him, that is Jesus, up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, and this is written in Exodus chapter 13, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. You're aware of this, but let me just remind you that a Jewish woman who bore a son was ceremonially unclean for 40 days. And it's kind of interesting there. We won't go into it. And somebody asked me one time, and I didn't follow up and study it too much, but a son ceremonially unclean for 40 days. If he had a daughter, it was longer. Sue, you'll have to help us with that one sometimes. I won't even go there. But a Jewish woman who bore a son was ceremonially unclean for 40 days. And after that, she was to offer a yearling lamb and a dove or a pigeon. But if poor, however, she could offer two doves or pigeons. And this is obviously what Joseph and Mary did. Realizing, of course, that he was just a carpenter, so he was considered poor to the extent that rather than offer a lamb for the sacrifice, they, it says, offered a pair of turtle doves, two young pigeons. It's kind of interesting, though, and this is just a side note, that here they are in the temple in Jerusalem, Joseph and Mary, and they are coming to follow the law. They are coming to show the purification. And they're going to offer now the two doves, the two pigeons. When in all reality, who do they have them with them? They had the perfect lamb. They had the sinless lamb, Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, the Messiah, the Christ. But time was not right for that. But it wouldn't take very long, would it? And how priceless I think it is for you and me to read this account and to look back and say, oh my goodness, they missed it all. For there he was, Jesus, the Messiah, the Savior of the world. And it would take some years later for him to come and to offer himself as the blood sacrifice. So some 40 days past the birth of Jesus, and Joseph and Mary have traveled with Jesus about 6 miles from Bethlehem to Jerusalem to fulfill the requirements of the law. And here's the story I want us to get to, the story of Simeon, there in verse 25. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And you can find that phrase somewhat mentioned in various Old Testament passages. The consolation of Israel was that phrase used for the comfort or the encouragement of the coming Messiah. And so here was this righteous and devout man, Simeon, who was waiting for this comfort, this encouragement to come. He was waiting for the Christ. If you notice the last part of verse 25, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. The Holy Spirit was upon Simeon. Verse 26. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Simeon would not see death before he had seen physically the long-awaited Savior of all people. And he, Simeon, came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents, Joseph and Mary, brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms. Simeon took Jesus up in his arms. And here's what he did. He blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. And his father and his mother, that is, Joseph and Mary, marveled at what was said about him, marveled at what Simeon said about Jesus. And look at verse 34. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel and for a sign that is opposed. And a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. The story of Simeon, the part that he had in the birth of Jesus. Simeon is the obvious in this story, isn't he? Like the fox in Bev Doolittle's painting, Simeon is immediately noticeable in the story, and rightfully so. For look at it now. It was Simeon, verse 28, who took the baby Jesus in his arms and blessed God for sending Jesus. It was Simeon who celebrated God with praises, who acknowledged God's goodness, and who gave God the glory. It was Simeon, verses 29 and 30, who recognized the faithfulness of God to keep his promises. The faithfulness of God to carry out his word. In this case, the promise of God's word that Simeon would not experience death before personally seeing the long-awaited Messiah, Jesus the Christ. Again, Simeon is the obvious. For it was Simeon, verses 30 through 32, who testified to the Messiah's far-reaching salvation. Jesus the Christ redeeming all God's people. The scriptures here say both Gentiles and the people of Israel. It was Simeon, verse 33, who brought amazement to Joseph and Mary as he authenticated to them that which they knew about their son already, but that which undoubtedly brought encouragement as they once again heard that which had been told them by the angels. And I thought about this one. And personally, I picked this one out. And I thought, well, why would this be an encouragement to Joseph and Mary? It had been about 40 days. Had been 40 days since the birth of Jesus. Why would they need to hear this again? And I thought, if anyone knows anything about raising little children, after a while, you need to be encouraged one more time. You need to know that this really is a priceless child. And I love this child. Got to change their diapers again and again. Got to listen to them cry again and again. Got to feed them again and again. And all of a sudden now Simeon says to Joseph and Mary, I want you to be encouraged. I want you to know who this is. And Joseph and Mary would have said, we do know who this is. We remember what the angels told us. But thank you, Simeon, for reminding us of that which we know, because it really is priceless to hear. And it was Simeon, verses 34 and 35, who prophesied regarding the Messiah's rejection, who prophesied regarding Mary's pain in that rejection, and who prophesied the revealing of apostate hearts and minds in that rejection. So what I want you to see in this account is that Simeon is the obvious in the story. He's the central character around whom the story revolves. He's the common denominator connecting the dots between God the Father, Jesus the Christ, Mary the mother of Jesus, and all people, both Jews and Gentiles. In fact, if the story were told without Simeon, well, it wouldn't be a story. It wouldn't make any sense. So he really is the obvious in the story. You can't miss that. He's the fox. But who's the hidden? Well, the hidden is the Holy Spirit, right? Behind the man Simeon making the story possible is the Holy Spirit of the Lord God Almighty. And that's who we need to focus on. Is Simeon important in the story? Well, sure he is. But even more so, the Holy Spirit is the one who made all the difference. And I want you to remember now, it is the Holy Spirit in you and me, the chosen, who makes all the difference as well. It was the Holy Spirit, verse 25, who was upon Simeon. And if you put your thoughts together on that, it was the Holy Spirit who obviously made Simeon a righteous and devout man waiting for the consolation of Israel. Were it not for the Holy Spirit, Simeon would be in opposition to Jesus the Christ, just as were those Simeon prophesied about. The Holy Spirit had to be the connection with the Lord God Almighty and Simeon. And he was. It was the Holy Spirit, verse 26, who revealed to Simeon that which was going to take place. Again, that Simeon would not experience death before personally seeing the long-awaited Messiah, Jesus the Christ. Were it not for the Holy Spirit, Simeon would not know to look for and expect the faithfulness of God to his promises. What I think is interesting is that we're not told how long it was that Simeon was waiting for the consolation of Israel. I mean, it could have been a short amount of time, but in my mind, for some reason, I think it was a long amount of time, which is really priceless when you think about it, that especially seeing what was going on in the world of Israel at the time. Remember the Romans? Remember persecution? Remember, there's a lot of things happening to the Jewish people. And here was one, obviously the Holy Spirit upon him, who was being told, you're going to see, you're going to be comforted, you're going to be encouraged, because you are going to personally see before you die the long-awaited Messiah. How long did he wait? We don't know. But he waited. Why did he wait? Why was he at peace about this? Why was he comforted in this? Because of the Holy Spirit upon him, the hidden one. It was the Holy Spirit, verses 27 and 28, who obviously pointed out to Simeon which baby was Jesus the Christ, which baby in the temple that day who was the Lord God's salvation for all people. Were it not for the Holy Spirit, Simeon would not be able to recognize and therefore respond to the consolation of Israel. I don't think, at least Scripture doesn't say it, that you had to wear a name tag when you went into the temple that day. Joseph, Mary, baby Jesus. I don't think so. So how did Simeon know that's Jesus and go pick him up? Well, the Holy Spirit told him, obviously. The Holy Spirit led him to Joseph and Mary and to baby Jesus. And it was the Holy Spirit, verses 28 through 35, who empowered Simeon to do this, to give testimony, to bring encouragement, and to prophesy. You see, were it not for the Holy Spirit, none of this could nor would be done. Who is the obvious in the story? Simeon. Who is the hidden in the story? It is the Holy Spirit. And it is the hidden who brings empowerment and guidance to the obvious. The obvious. So who's the obvious today? As you and I gather in this place and we look back at a historical story and we learn about the obvious there, the hidden there, who is the obvious today? Well, you are. And I am. Those of us who have been chosen in Christ. In fact, if you want to think about it like this, do so. We are Simeon types. Now, we're not Simeons in the sense that we can relate to his particular story. But we've got a story of our own. All of us do. In Christ, we have a story. In Christ, sovereign God is at work in our lives, carrying out his divine plan. And in Christ, we, the obvious, are being empowered and guided by the hidden Holy Spirit. And the story is being played out. The story is being told. British evangelist, theological teacher and founder of the Torchbearers Bible Schools, Major Ian Thomas, once wrote this in his book, The Indwelling Life of Christ. He said, the human spirit is that part of us where God lives within us in the person of the Holy Spirit, so that with our moral consent, and never without it, God gains access to our human soul. This is where he himself, as the creator within the creature, can teach our minds, control our emotions, and direct our will, so that he, as God from within, governs our behavior as we allow God to simply be God. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit, Galatians 5:25. And this is what it means to walk in the Holy Spirit, to take one step at a time. And for every new situation into which every new step takes you, no matter what it may be, to hear Christ saying to your heart, I am, then to look up into his face by faith and say, yes, you are. That is all I need to know, Lord. And I thank you, for you are never less than adequate. So I want you to think for just a moment this morning. What is the story you, the obvious, are living out right now? What is the new situation into which you are taking new steps? Are you building a relationship or nurturing a relationship? Are you tackling a project? Are you raising a family? Are you learning in school? Are you dealing with an illness? Are you loving the unlovable? Are you healing a hurt? Are you seeking forgiveness? Are you speaking truth? Are you giving up self? What is the story that you personally, the obvious, are living out right now? And most importantly, is He who is hidden in your story, the Holy Spirit, empowering you and guiding you? Because if He is, here's what's taking place. The hidden, the Holy Spirit, He is teaching your mind. He is controlling your emotions. He is directing your will so that it is He who governs your behavior as you simply allow God to be God. And if this is taking place, you, the chosen, you, the Simeon type, if this is taking place, here's what is also happening in your life. You are blessing God. You may not think so, but you, like Simeon, are blessing God. Maybe you're doing so with your words. Maybe you're doing so in song. Hopefully you're doing so in the way you live your life. You are blessing God. You, like Simeon, are recognizing His faithfulness. All of a sudden, for some strange reason, maybe, you realize, wow, God, You've been faithful to me this week. I didn't even see it. I didn't recognize it at the time. But God, You've been faithful to Your word to me. And I marvel at that, God. I bless You, God. That's what Simeon did. That's what you do. And then finally, you testify to the Lord God's far-reaching salvation through Jesus Christ. You may say, wait a minute, I don't testify to that. Yes, you do, because you're living it out. Yes, you do, because you walk out to a lost and dying, spiritually lost, spiritually dying world where your story now is being told. And you're saying, look at me, saved by grace through God-given faith. That's not on my own. That's God doing this. And oh, by the way, do you know Jesus? Do you want to know Jesus? See, you really are a Simeon type. Because you are doing exactly what Simeon did. Oh, not in his story, but you are doing so in your personal story. And dear friends, that is priceless. It's literally priceless, because what it means is whatever your story is on any given day, you can be the one who blesses God. You can be the one who recognizes His faithfulness, and you can be the one who testifies to His far-reaching salvation through Jesus Christ. How do you know if any given day you're being a Simeon type? How do you know that? Well, again, if we connect to Simeon and what happened in his life, remember, Simeon said to the Lord God, now I can depart in peace because You carried out Your word. How do we know that on any given day, telling our story, living out our story, we are a Simeon type? Well, I'm convinced it's when we walk in peace. It's when we can look at the story for the day and we can say, Lord, if this is the moment when You're taking me home to meet You face to face, I'm at peace. I'm at peace. And if you know in that moment that you're at peace because of the story that has been told on that day, you're a Simeon type. You're a Simeon type. But if you're not at peace, then what do we need to do? Well, we simply need to work on telling the story. We simply need to go back and say, Holy Spirit, what have I missed here? And the Holy Spirit will gladly say, let me help you with that. Let me help you with that. What do you think about your life? What do you think about the past days? What do you think about the story that has been told because you're telling that story through your words and your deeds and your attitudes and your emotions? What do you think about it? Are you seeing yourself content and at peace? Are you seeing yourself as a Simeon type? I trust you are, because that's what God has chosen you to do. I trust you are, because again, I'll say it, this is what this spiritually lost and dying world needs to see and to hear. You being just like Simeon. Me being just like Simeon. Most of the time, it happens in ways that we, the obvious, don't pick up on until the Holy Spirit begins to say, let me show you how that worked today. Sometimes it happens kind of to the extreme. And in closing today, I want to share with you one of those extremes. This comes from David Gabel's book, He Leadeth Me. And he talks about an incident where he was, in fact, a Simeon type, though he never saw it coming. No, he never could have organized this himself. But here's what happened. Pastor, could I talk to you for a minute? Her voice was low. She wasn't sure of herself. She looked to be in her early 20s, a girl I'd never seen at our church before. It was my first year as senior pastor at Full Gospel Tabernacle in downtown Fresno, California. I was greeting people after the Wednesday night Bible study. Well, sure, what can I do for you? Would you please talk with my husband? He moved out from our home and into an apartment with two women, and I don't know what to do. Is he a Christian? Well, he's the one who led me to a relationship with Christ. Then I'll be glad to talk with him. How can I get in touch with him? Well, that's the problem. I can't reach him. If he wants to talk, he calls me. There was little I could do. I asked her to have him call me if he talked with her again. And I remember in saying that the look of despair in her eyes as she walked away. Friday was my day off. I got up early. We were landscaping our front yard and I wanted it finished. By late morning, the end was in sight. It was hot. I was muddy, aching and thoroughly tired of the whole project. And to add to my woes, I ran out of ornamental plants. And so I drove to the store for more. The first store had the right kind of plants, but the price had gone up. A store a mile down the road had the same plants, and the price was right. So I drove there, loaded my cart, and headed to the checkout. As I waited in line, I glanced at the cashier's name tag. It looked familiar. As the man began to ring up the plants, I motioned to his name tag. Is that your name? Dumb question, but I wanted to be sure. He looked at me blankly, going on full village idiot alert. Yes, this is my name. Well, are you married to, and I named the woman who had talked with me on Wednesday night. He really looked at me strangely now. Yes, that's who I'm married to. I drew myself up to my full 6'5", unshaven, messy, sweaty, and muddy appearance, and I gave him my happiest smile. Well, dear friend, God has sent me here to talk to you about your marriage. The pastor says some 300,000 people lived in the Fresno area at that time. Out of all of them, the first person I had talked to, other than my family and staff at church, since that Wednesday night in talking to the man's wife, this was the first one I talked to, her husband. He says, in a lifetime of seeking to be led by the Lord, that is the most powerful example I ever have experienced. I had heard many stories of people led by the Spirit to go to unusual places or to say unusual things. I always wondered what that would be like. At times, I've really needed guidance and have prayed earnestly for it. God has helped me. But my unerring, no wasted step trip to that husband remains my most remarkable example. Not only was I not trying to be led, I wasn't conscious of God's leading. I just wanted my yard finished. And I read that and I thought, oh, isn't God good? Isn't sovereign God good? He is the one who will take an individual like this and put him in a story on a given day to carry out his divine plan. And it happens to you as well. Maybe not to this extent. Maybe not in a Simeon similarity, other than you, the obvious, are being led and guided by the hidden, the Holy Spirit. And if you'll just look for him, not only will you see the obvious, the fox, you will also see that hidden in life that you so desperately need to understand to see God working and moving. Let's pray together. Father, thank you. Thank you for how you tell us a story of someone like Simeon. And how sad it is that we often read that story and just go, it so happened this way. When in all reality, Lord, there is so much depth to it. In the days ahead, as we look at our own lives, will you remind us of the depth of this story? And will you let us see for ourselves, are we like Simeon? Are we blessing God? Are we testifying to your faithfulness? Are we living Jesus and sharing Jesus? Father, there's purpose in everything, and you carried out so beautifully. Would you please let us see that purpose this week, and let us be encouraged that in that purpose mightily, especially as we think more and more about the wondrous gift of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Father, bless each one here. I ask that as we go out this week, we would so be endowed with the Holy Spirit, so be embedded in thinking like the Holy Spirit, speaking like the Holy Spirit, feeling and acting like the Holy Spirit, that your divine plan will be carried out just perfectly. And in doing so, we'll give you the praise and the glory and the honor in Jesus' name. Amen.